Hi, everybody. Anna here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Anna and Susanna Show. As many of you know, we've changed up our format a bit. Susanna and I felt called to go a bit spiritually deeper during our talks with each other, but we still wanted to laugh and make fun of things like Mariah Carey at the same time. I guess you consider our new format a Bible study that goes off the rails. Sometimes really far off the rails, so put on your seatbelt. We want you to know that we see your messages and emails, and we're so encouraged and thankful by your loving, kind words and support. If you love the show, could you do us a favor? First, subscribe to us through iTunes, and then give us a quick rating and review. If you think a friend or family member may enjoy the show or be encouraged by it, please share us with them. It's an honor to spend our Wednesdays with you. With that out of the way, buckle up, ladies and men. The Anna and Susanna Show is coming up next.
Hey, baby, I know you've had a hard day. Packing lunches, folding laundry, getting the oil changed in the caravan. Or maybe you've spent 8 hours in the cubicle with that jerk boss looking over your shoulders. Settle down, pour a glass of red, kick your shoes off, and forget about your cares, baby. It's time for the Anna and Susanna Show.
Hi, everybody. This is Anna Lynn Thomas, the founder of the funny website for women, Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's.
And this is Susanna B. Lewis of Whoa Susanna. Welcome to the Anna and Susanna Show.
So I'm pretty sure this was last week. Susanna, yeah. Do you recall during last week's episode when we tried to use that horrific app that didn't work?
Oh my gosh. I'm still having nightmares.
You guys, this app, I can't tell you how horrible it is, but it's like the best thing we have right now to go live together and not be in the same room. And Facebook, I think, allows it. I see people doing it on I just went to the New York Times in my feed. They're live. There's two people. Obviously,
so are they using that app?
No, it's on Facebook. Facebook, I don't see any app connected to it. It looks like it's Facebook is letting them do that. And I don't know if they don't know who Susanna and I are, but they should get on board and let us do the freaking
split screen.
We better recognize. Okay, but Susanna, here's what happened. So, and I tried to call you and you answered the phone and hung up on me, and I figured I called you in the middle of something. Do you remember that? I had to decompress with you about what had actually happened to me because I don't think you understood the gravity of what happened on my page. Do you recall?
Wait, let's go back to the phone call. I said hello and you didn't say anything. And I thought, poor Anna, not only is she having internet trouble, but she's having phone trouble as well.
All I heard was like, you answer the phone, a bunch of like scruff, 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 hang up. You actually said hello?
Oh, yes, I said hello. Hello.
We were being attacked. We were being attacked.
Get behind us, Satan. He got it. Yeah.
It was a full assault. Okay. I had to decompress with you. I was walking the girls, but I had to chat about it because when we went live through this app, it was the third time Susanna and I had tried it. And every time it's working okay, I go live and then she gets kicked off. And I'm just sitting there live like, hey, everybody, what's going on? While Susanna is messaging me on the side, like, this freaking app, forget it, I'm leaving.
You should have just started making, like, balloon animals or something.
That's what I know. I need to learn how, just to get me through these awkward moments.
Here's a bunny rabbit.
Just start, like, spinning plates. Mm-hmm. So I did. So then after we were done, I clicked end broadcast. I don't know if there's 5 end broadcast buttons you have to click, but I clicked end broadcast and I clicked out of the tab. I noticed that my camera light was still on my computer and I thought it was odd. However, you and I were then on Skype about ready to record ourselves on Skype. So I thought, oh, it must be the Skype video. Which was weird, though, because I hadn't actually pressed start yet. But surely I don't think I'm still going live. We make the video, then we record the entire podcast. We get done. I'm off. I close up shop. I check. I have countless messages on my Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's page. People are like, Anna, you are still going live. Be careful. Like, it was people who were really fearful for me. They thought, they were like, don't pull out a boob. Don't fart. Don't pick your nose. Don't talk trash about somebody. Just be careful. We're all watching you. Okay. Apparently, countless women continue to watch the show. They said it was a train wreck. This is what I was told. They were like, it was a train wreck. I couldn't look away. I felt bad for you, but at the same time, it was the best hour of my life. So I was like, well, mm-hmm. listen, if I can help in that way, then how can I complain?
Yeah.
Right. And right. they watched the whole thing. Thank God I didn't do anything embarrassing. I went back. I was like, did I do anything embarrassing? Did Susanna? And one girl was really sweet. She was like, it was actually a relief to know that you and Susanna are the same people off air as you are on air. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
So I mean, hysterical. There was a part of me that wishes I did do something embarrassing just so that they could have been entertained and been rewarded for sticking through the entire hour.
I wish you had left it up because I wanted to see it. You should have left it up. It could have gone viral or something.
It was like an immediate reaction. It was like the minute I realized I was still going live, I just deleted it. You know what I mean? It was just this knee mm-hmm. jerk. If I would have had time to sit there and think about it, though, I probably would have left it on and just let the joke mm-hmm. live. But I deleted it just as like, oh, crap, I'm still live. Delete. You know, I didn't. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Your computer was possessed.
I'm telling you. I am. And then devil. And then another person was like, they were like, we were just hoping, we were just waiting for you to realize you were still live. And we were just so excited, hoping that you'd notice. And I never do. Like, I shut it off before I realize it. And then mm-hmm. one woman messaged me and she was like, I was just hoping that there was someone you love who would text you and let you know. Turns out my sister saw it.
Uh-huh.
Realized.
Did they text you?
No! I was like, why didn't you text me? She's like, well, I got busy.
Oh, somebody sent, well, I checked after that. I checked my, because I don't get messages on my page, but you can post on my wall. And I checked and somebody had sent a screenshot of you just sitting there talking. And she had put, please tell Anna she's still live. But I was doing the podcast. I wasn't going to be able to tell you.
If you were one of those people who reached out to me, thank you. Bless your heart. You were looking out for me, but yeah. I was in the zone. I mean, we shut off our messages. Even if my sister would have texted me, there's a really good chance I wouldn't have seen it or noticed because I shut it off. But people were looking out for me. God bless them. God bless them.
Wish I could have seen it. Next time, if that accident happens, just let it roll. Let it roll, baby. Let it roll.
Just embrace it. Just embrace it. Yeah, I know. That's what
it would have been horrible. You know, like seriously, you know, sometimes I'll podcast in that bathrobe I have. Like, what if that had happened to me in my bathrobe?
It's so bad. It's
picking my nose.
Yeah. I know. You pick your nose. You just say something, you yell at your kids in the background. Oh, who knows? We're capable of so many things when we don't think we're being watched. I have a meme from a long time ago where it's like, there's a part of me that wishes when I died I could come back as a ghost to play pranks on my friends and family. But then I realize I don't want to see what they think when they're alone. I don't want to see anything. When they think that they're alone. Could you imagine? You're like, uh-huh. You know what? I'm going to creep up on my husband, play a prank on him. They're like, what is he doing? What is he? Uh-uh. You know.
No.
Go creep up on your girlfriend who's alone in her bedroom. Then you're like, wait, what? Why is she farting so much? She's just, you know, I'm telling you. Mm-mm. We don't really want to know what people do in private.
No, I do some weird stuff in private. I don't even... That I'm always worried like about voyeurism or something. I'm like, what if somebody's got a camera? I don't know. Like when I'm letting the water get hot to the shower.
Yeah.
Like if I dance in the bathroom or something, I'm like, this could ruin me.
Inspecting.
You don't dance while your water's warming up.
I don't dance, but I do like a full body inspection. I imagine that. A full body inspection. Boobs, under the boobs, butt.
Searching for ticks.
Slap the butt to see if it jiggles. Get a sad look on my face when it does.
Yeah, I dance to see what jiggles.
Well, so that's it, you guys. I was live for an hour just talking. People are like going through their Facebook feeds and they're like, what's this? And it's just me just.
But people do that with radio shows. You know that? People who have radio shows, they'll like, you know.
I guess so. I'd
rather watch you than Dave Ramsey do that. If you're watching Dave Ramsey, there's one thing you should know. Cut up your credit card. I've just saved you an hour of time.
Yeah, Rob and I watched his videos and we followed a lot of it. And then we're pretty much on the path. I think next we just have some student loans we got to take care of. And then we're pretty much in the clear. And it really has changed my mind about, you know, the next car we buy, I want to pay cash. I don't want to finance it or lease it again, you know, that kind of stuff. And so, how he is as a person, I don't know, but I do know he gives some pretty good financial advice.
He does give some good financial advice. Cut up your credit card.
So, so that happened to me. So for those of you watching, I'm glad you couldn't even hear Susanna, I don't think. So you guys really stuck through a one-sided conversation for an hour, and I applaud you.
I'd like to see if when you laugh at things I say, if your face is like genuine, you find it funny, or if you just laugh because you know you're supposed to.
There's one part that got caught, whereas you were talking and I left. And then I came.
You left or you laughed?
No, I left. I left the room.
Oh, great.
Oh. It's because Bruno, I could hear him doing something in the family room, and I didn't want to just stop you and yell at him, so I got up to go see what he was doing, and then I got him into a different room, and then I came back, and I just picked right. You didn't even know.
I didn't know.
Do you feel like you've been lied to a little bit?
I'm a little hurt by that. I'm gonna just start asking questions in the middle of while I'm rambling.
I'm just gonna start.
Don't you agree, Anna?
Yeah, exactly. Hello. Yeah.
Anna, do you agree with that?
I went to church yesterday. Hello? Hello?
Yep.
And,
yep.
Just
that's what I'm going to start doing, yeah.
Like we have like a bad phone connection. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, so guess what? You've got some news. You were on the Weather Channel.
Ding, ding. Yeah,
how
the Weather Channel.
How fun is that? Tell us all about it. I cannot wait to hear.
It was pretty cool, I'll tell you. I did two slots for the morning show. And here's the thing. We did it through Skype. And so the first one was at 7:40. And so this producer from the Weather Channel called and it said the Weather Channel calling. So the Weather Channel called and I was like, hello. Anyway, so where I was set up, they told me to do the interview outdoors. So where I was set up, I had a beautiful view in front of our pool and stuff, and the landscaping looked great. And he was like, that's not going to work because you got too much light coming in behind you. I'm going to need you to face the other way. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm moving around. He's like, that's perfect right there. And I was like, right here? And he's like, yeah, right there. That looks good. So I'm sitting in the patio chair. I'm like, okay. So I look, and it's not as beautiful as a view as the pool and everything. But I was like, well, are you here, Anna? So
you got me on that one. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
You aren't listening. So I'm sitting under my porch and we do the interview and I cannot see the people talking to me. I can just hear them through my headphones. And so I'm doing the interview and it went well and they kind of told me the questions they were going to ask. So I was prepared for it and it was good and they were fun. And so I'm embarrassed to say this, but I don't have the Weather Channel.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I'm a cheapskate and I put it down to the basic package, you know? So we have some like generic Weather Channel. And so people were sending me pictures of me on the television. And I noticed in the first interview, Anna, Are you there? Yes. And the first interview, I notice that where I'm sitting, my window blinds are 9 kinds of jacked up behind me.
Like it's a some terrible are pointing look. Up. Like someone. It was, is. Yeah. That. Yeah. Totally.
Some are pointing up, some are pointing down, and, you know, they're cracked open. You can kind of see in the kitchen, Jason was in there drinking juice and his underwear out of the refrigerator. And so I'm like, so my national television debut, pretty much, and I'm sitting in front of jacked up window blinds. So I said, okay, for the 9:40 interview, I'm going to move. I'm going to, you know, be in the same spot, but I'm going to fix the blinds and move and get out of the way. So anyway, I moved. And here's the thing. It was 2 different anchors the second time, but I didn't know till later because I couldn't see them. And they sounded exactly the same. And the guy on the second interview, he was like, after I got done, you know, and he's like, oh, we just love you, Susanna. You're hilarious. We just love your videos. We've just been sitting up here crying. We just love your videos. And I was like, oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Thanks. And then so finally people were sending me pictures of it. And I was like, that guy ain't listening to watching my videos. He was like, you know, we're just big fans. I said, no. And my husband said, you know, that's sweet, but I don't think they're really fans of yours. I said, why do you say that? He said, they just don't look like fans of yours. Like, I don't know what fans of mine are supposed to look like. I said, what, meteorologist? He said, I don't know. They just don't look like they would follow you. I was like, all right, well, thanks then. I appreciate it.
You should have drilled him. You should have been like, interesting.
I should have.
What's your favorite video? And he's like,
what's your favorite video? I should have just put him on the spot right there. Anyway, I'm not making, they were great. They were very nice. Yeah. They were great. But you know, he was just, we've just been up here life and you're just hilarious. And I was like, well, great. Thanks. But anyway, it was good. The window blinds were jacked up the first time. The second time it went well.
So what, and, now I know that it's based off of how a video of the, softball moms being the best meteorologist. So what kind of questions did they ask you?
They asked, why do softball moms make the best meteorologists?
Was that it? And then you just kind of went pretty on your little spiel?
Yeah, and I went on a little spiel, and I was like, well, you know, talking about how the ball moms, that's all we text back and forth is about weather, you know, on game days, sending screenshots of the radar. And so then I got smart on them. I was like, you know, we have a ball game because we were supposed to play ball that afternoon. I said, you know, we have a ball game this afternoon, so I know. And I had pulled up the Weather Channel app, and I was, like, reading today's forecast. I was like, so I know today we have a slight chance of thunderstorms, winds north to northwest, southeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour, rain chance 80%. So I read that off like I actually knew what it was.
That's awesome. So everybody has...
You're not even listening to me.
I just guess what? I knew the minute you did that, I was like, shoot, I'm caught. Because you heard me typing, didn't you? Yeah. Did you hear me typing?
I was on the Weather Channel. It was fun. What's today's verse?
I had to type something to somebody. I listened to the whole thing, and it was amazing. But that very last part, I might have missed.
Okay.
And I just want you to know that.
No, I don't take it personal.
Were they laughing at your jokes? Did you feel like you got a good vibe from them? Because nothing's worse than like talking to somebody and then like they're not kind of giving you anything back like I just did.
Yeah, that is a horrible feeling. No, they were great.
That's how I always feel when you and I have a delay. Like, I'll deliver, like, a really good one, and then, like, I don't hear anything from you for a while. And I'm like, okay, well, that always happens during our delays. It's a terrible feeling. You got to get that immediate feedback.
Need immediate reaction, yeah.
Yeah. I remember being interviewed by Michael Yo. He's he's a comedian. He does E! Entertainment Tonight or whatever. And it was amazing how professional... When people are professional using things like Skype and stuff like that, isn't it kind of like a funny feeling? Because like this producer comes on, he's like, hey, Anna, let's go ahead and do a sound test with you. And I'm like, really? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's kind of a crazy feeling. And then he's, you know, Michael Yo's talking to the producer. I was like, I got to get me one of these producers.
I know. I need a producer. The producer for the Weather Channel was great. He was so good. And it was, you know, very professional. It makes you feel really important there for a second. He's like, okay, Susanna, we're going to wrap this up and we'll be with you in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I said, okay, great. Yeah.
They'll do like a little countdown or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He said, if you hear me say rap while you're talking, just finish up your thought. I said, okay, sure. Yeah. So anyway, the whole time I was like, is he about to say rap, but he didn't. I got it out there good. Anyway, it was fun, Anna. I appreciate you listening to my story so diligently.
I know. Well, listen.
You're a good friend.
I'm your sister from another mister.
You are.
Okay, so last week's verse was about being renewed in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been kind of thinking, these verses are always challenging me because, you know, one of the struggles that I'm having with right now is the stress of a toddler and an infant. And what's happening is that I am discovering that my husband and I are taking out our stress on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of directing it at our child, which we don't want to do, because we're, you know, if we're getting angry or super stressed out, instead of directing it at her, which would be inappropriate,
mm-hmm.
we're directing the snark and the frustration and the anger at each other. And it's like I personally could feel myself doing it, but I couldn't stop myself. And I was like, be renewed in Christ. You're a different woman. Don't resort back to old habits.
Mm-hmm.
Do something different. Treat him with kindness. Calm down. And it was so hard to do. We just... go ahead.
But the fact that you even know to say that and to meditate on that proves mm-hmm. you're a different person.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
You know?
And we really started to talk about it. Like, for instance, he was getting super frustrated, and I could just tell that we were all on the beach, and which is kind of our backyard. We put our umbrella up and we just wanted this beach fun. And Lucy was getting upset about something 2-year-olds get upset about. I don't know. She had some toy that wouldn't open. Who knows? But it was kind of like building on each other. And then Poppy was getting antsy, and you know, all Rob and I wanted to do was just sit in a beach chair and just soak up some sun. You know, you just want to be left alone for like 5 minutes, right?
Well, sister, it's not, you got years left of that.
I know. I just told him.
Mine are 10 and 7, and antsy is still a key word around here. You can't sit alone for 5 minutes anywhere.
I told him, I was like, we have to come to a place of acceptance of what our life is. Mm-hmm. And I know that you and I want to spend Memorial Day with a beverage on a beach and with peaceful, but this is not our life stage. It's just not mm-hmm. It's not our life stage. And so we have to, and then we don't plan. Like, you need to kind of, if we're going to go to the beach, we have to do things in order. Because if you get Lucy in her swimsuit and you get her ready first, it causes anxiety because then she doesn't know why we're not leaving right now. She doesn't realize, well, we've got to get Poppy's chair. We've got to get the beach thing. We've got to go get Bruno's leash to bring him out. You know, there's a process to going into the back. And when you put a 2-year-old in everything she needs first, you're asking mm-hmm. for trouble because she's going to start crying, wondering why you're not leaving, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, we need to plan better. You know, we got to do all these things. But, you know, Rob was like, one of his things that he was getting irritated, I was like, can you just calm down? Please, just calm down. I mean, let's just try to relax. And he's like, you know, you act like you're all perfect. Like, what's your deal? How are you not getting stressed out about this? I go, it's kind of like when two people are really drunk, but one person's real, real, real drunk. It sobers the other person up. I was like, that's kind of what we've got going on right now. Like, when I see you super upset, I want to, you know, it pulls me back to rein it in. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, girl, I'm here. It's a tough, we're in a tough spot, and we're trying to just, if Rob and I stop enjoying each other because we're each other's stress beating post, then we're in real trouble. So,
you know, y'all are still in the early stages of parenthood.
Yeah.
And I'm not to boast, I'm not bragging, but I got a few years on you. And I'm telling you that the first probably I'm not even exaggerating, probably the first 5 years of parenthood, we had not really accepted that we were parents yet. I'm telling you, it took a lengthy 5 years. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
And until we realized this is life, we've got to just accept it, you know, that our lives revolve around these children now, and this is what we have to do, and we're not the same people anymore, and it's time to be content and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And now we are both, we're completely different people than we were when we first had kids. But yes, it takes some adjusting. You don't just have that baby and suddenly you're a completely different person. I mean, yes, you're a mother now, but you have to you're so used to life being a certain way for 30 years.
Right.
It takes years of adjusting.
Well, and Rob and I were married for so long before we had kids.
Right.
And sometimes Rob will say, well, let's just all go out to eat. And, you know, he goes, let's go out to eat today. And I'll say to him, okay, well, what time? And then I'm like, well, we have to think about Lucy and her nap. What mood is she going to be in? Because I was like, I can tell you right now, me going to Cheesecake Factory with a naughty 2-year-old is like real low on my list of desires. You know, and then Rob will be like, we can't let the kids dictate how we live our lives. I was like, well, I think we kind of do. I mean, there has to be a balance. He's right. We don't want to be hermits because we're afraid that the toddler is going to be a pain. But at the same time, we have to know when is her nap time? How hungry will she be? Mm-hmm. I know Lucy is so independent, and I've heard so many people say this, but she was such an easy baby. She was the kind of baby that I would, now it took a little training on my part and a little consistency, but she was the kind of baby where I would lay her down. She would look right into my eyes. I would stroke and kiss her cheek and say, good night, my love, and shut the door. And she was fast asleep. I mean, I just thought, listen, I am so blessed. When the twos came around, I couldn't believe that my baby is capable of this kind of madness. And of course, so I just, 2-year-olds are nightmares, right? I mean, I'm not alone. They're just, are they?
Yeah.
Or is it our disciplining? How much is discipline and how much is this is just how a 2-year-old acts? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've tried to block out the 2s and the 3s, so I don't know. It was horrible.
Well, because let me just share something. Let me share a little piece of my heart. Our next door neighbors have a 6 or 7-year-old who loves Lucy, and Lucy loves her. Now, because of that, whenever we're in the back in our beach, she wants to go over to their beach. And they said, Lucy is welcome anytime, whether we're here or not, because they have some toys and some fun stuff over there. So Lucy will want to go over there. And then when their little girl is out, she plays, and Lucy is bossy, and the older kid knows and is treating their, you know, how 2-year-olds are, like, come over here and do this. Mm-hmm. But Lucy she'll just cry or throw a fit or whatever. Lucy will get upset because their little girl went inside to go to the bathroom. Then Lucy starts crying. You know what I mean? With her mouth all big and open. We're like, she's going to the bathroom. And I was like, would I be annoyed having a toddler coming over here all the time screaming? You know what I mean? They seem so lovely and gracious. And so there's a part of me then that gets embarrassed. Like, I should discipline her, which I do, which I tell her no. Like, I don't let her do whatever she wants. But then I'm like, should I pick her up? Should I take her inside? And then I start to get embarrassed. And then I'm resentful that I'm embarrassed. Do you hear what I'm saying? Is this normal? Am I going through with a parenting rite of passage? Or is there something I could be doing better?
I just got back. Could you repeat that?
No, Anna.
Absolutely, it's normal. Look, the twos are a hard time. And one of the first articles that I ever wrote that went viral, the first one that Huffington Post ever published was called 3 is the New 2. Mm-hmm. Because my daughter didn't start acting a fool until about 3.
Yeah.
It was my boy. It wasn't her. It was the boy. He was just sweet as pie up until about 3 and just went crazy. And he's 7 now and he's still got some craziness going on with him. Like just defiant, He's very strong-willed. Now, you've probably, and people use that term strong-willed. I'm not talking he's a brat and I'm saying right. He's strong-willed. He's not a brat. He's a sweet boy, but he is strong-willed. If he doesn't get his way, he wants to know why. Mm-hmm. Why it doesn't work this way. He thinks his way is better, this and that. And I think he's going to be a very successful businessman someday.
Yeah.
But the threes, twos, and threes are the hardest times. And it's just, you're overthinking it.
Am I? Yeah.
You okay. are. You're overthinking it. It's absolutely normal. It's nothing that you're doing wrong. And things will settle down in a bit. But my advice to you right now is just hang in there and quit overthinking it so much.
I'm overthinking it because I'm a problem solver. I just want to exactly. solve this that's, problem.
That's and, what I was just about to say. Mm-hmm. You are a problem. I was about to say that. You are a problem solver. You can't solve this. This is just life.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just little buttholes for a while.
I think it's for me. And two, I don't like negative attention on myself either, which, you know, who does? But some people care more than others. And I'm one of those people who really kind of cares. And I try not to because who cares what other people think? And she doesn't throw tantrums. You know, I don't have a lot of tantrums out in public too much. She's so independent. And I've had other adults say, gosh, she is an independent little girl. And that makes it so difficult because she wants to do things on her own that I'm like, are you nuts? You're a baby, you know? And so then it's just this constant kind of battle. And I think, and what's hard is that, you know, I do go to my mom for a lot of counsel, but I was one of the easiest babies on the planet and she doesn't remember the other two. And so she just can't, she's like, well, I don't know. You just sat there quiet. I'm like, well, that does not help.
Right.
So anyway, that's the stage I'm in. Listen, if you've got toddlers with me, just we're all in this together, I guess. And I've seen so many people. Of course, there's a huge joke about how toddlers are. It's like intellectually, I know it. You just can't believe it in the moment that toddlerhood is happening to you. You just can't. You just can't believe it. You know,
it's a wild ride.
It is a wild ride. Okay, so. Let's get into this next verse here because I'm real excited about this one, and we will do that right after this commercial break. Okay, Susanna, tell me what you got for this week.
This week we have Matthew 6, 2. Mm-hmm. Thus, whenever you give to the poor, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets like to do, that they may be recognized and honored and praised by men. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward in full already. Mm-hmm. And then verse 3 says, but when you give to charity, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that your deeds of charity may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Yeah.
Such a great reminder. And let me just, are you going to leave or can I go on and dive right in?
Go ahead and
I'm just going to dive. What we were saying, Anna and I were saying before the show, is I think that this has a whole new meaning now in the world of social media. Because, as I was saying, you know, there's so many people. You see these people putting things on Facebook about these good deeds they've done. And I think, I may be wrong, Lord forgive me if I am, but I think I can kind of pick out who is genuine in trying to encourage others to pay it forward and to do good things. And then you can just kind of tell those that want to say, you know, look what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I need your approval and I need your praise. And right here in this scripture, it says, if that's the reason you're doing it is for approval of men, then you've already gotten your reward for it. Don't expect the Lord to bless you anymore for it. You've gotten your earthly reward for that. But if you're doing it in secret, then the Lord will be sure to bless you for it.
Right.
And so I think, I mean, you know, you see it on social media all the time, all the time. And I think it's great when people post a picture, a waitress posts a picture that they got a $50 tip. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying, or he's saying, look, this person tipped me and it's such a blessing. I needed this money or whatever. Thank you. But when the person who did the tipping posts a picture of the receipt and says, I just tipped our server $50.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of takes on a different meaning to
me. Very much.
You know?
And, you know, it's a little bit of a fine line because
it is.
There's the humble brag and then there's the I am in such awe of this blessing or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, and it is a fine line between it, and it all comes back to the motivation of what you're actually saying it for. And usually people can feel the difference. And that's why humble brags feel so icky.
Yeah.
Because you know, you can sense the heart of it is to brag, but they're trying to pretend to cloak it in humility. You would rather the person just brag. You know what I mean? Just if you're excited about something, just brag about it. You know, you'd almost rather they did that because inauthentic, when people aren't authentic, there's something about it that just doesn't ring true, because I think inherently we want truth. We want to identify with the truth. We want to connect with something that's true. And when something's kind of fakey or inauthentic or meant to brag, it just kind of takes on that creepy feeling.
Right.
And to give, just to show how, we were talking about this. There was someone who was really popular on social media, and their sister was buying something out of a vending machine for a homeless man. And she took a picture of it and then went on a very long caption about how giving and generous her sister is. And I just kept thinking, this man, this homeless man, is in your photo, blasted out to hundreds of thousands of people, and you're kind of exploiting him to brag about your sister.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to be careful, because I understood what she was trying to do. And I think she was trying to share a message of a giving spirit. There are some people who are just naturally generous. And, you know, for me, I wish I was that way. I have to intentionally be generous, because my first instinct is to be selfish and to hoard for myself, you know? I have to really kind of, and you know, there are some people who are just so generous, they'll just give you the shirt off their back. And I think that was kind of the message she was trying to relay. But we have to be careful, because God truly knows our heart and why we're intending to do something. And He's the only one that really matters. Whether or not your friends know that you gave $100 to something, only God really needs to know that. So,
absolutely. Yeah. I remember it, and I'm not going to tell what I did, because then I would be telling you what I did. I'm not going to do that. But I remember a few years ago, it was placed on my heart to do something for somebody I didn't know. And I passed, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I passed their house every day. And I did not know them. They were a stranger. And the Lord just kept telling me to do something specifically for this person. And I fought it for a while. And I was like, you know, I had the first natural instinct of, they're not going to appreciate it. They're going to use it in the wrong way.
I don't know what it is, but sometimes you worry that they're going to be insulted by it.
Yes, I did worry that they're going to be insulted by it. And so I had all these reasons of why I shouldn't do this for this person. And I just kept feeling every day when I'd pass their house, the Lord would kind of speak quietly to my spirit, you need to help this person and do this certain thing for them. And so I did it, finally. And it had taken weeks, and I finally did it. And I did it anonymously because of that thing. I didn't know if they would be insulted. And one of the things I kept struggling with is, are they going to use what I'm giving them in a bad way? And I remember I kind of felt like the Lord saying, that's on them. You're doing what you're being obedient to me. What they do with it isn't your problem. You do your part. And so I finally did this thing. And this was several years ago. And so I wasn't on Facebook as much as I am now. And Facebook hadn't really, not that it hadn't blown up, but you didn't see people putting everyday stuff on there, you know. And so I remember thinking, I had the fleshly instinct to kind of toot my own horn a little bit about it. And I wasn't going to say specifically what I did, but I was going to say something cheesy, like, it feels helping others is a great feeling.
Yeah.
Or something like
with
that.
With like a selfie. With like a selfie of you. Yes. With your
Just vague and stupid. Just vague and stupid. Yeah. And I remember, Anna, such a strong feeling. And I didn't even remember this verse specifically, but I remembered such a strong feeling of, if you do that, if you tell any, I didn't even tell my husband, I didn't tell anybody. Mm. If you go around telling everybody what you've done, then you will not get what I have set forth to give you for this blessing, for being obedient. You will not receive a reward for being obedient if you go to, and it was the strongest thing, kind of like, you know, I was being told by, you know, your parent, do not do that. Don't mm-hmm. do it. And mm-hmm. so I didn't. And so I've thought of that for years when I've done other things, and I'm not going to tell what I've done because that's nobody's business but the Lord's. Mm-hmm. But when I've done other things, I've thought that, you know,
yeah,
I do not want to risk losing what the Lord has in store for me by being obedient to Him.
Yeah, right.
Just for a few measly likes on Facebook. Isn't that what it is? It's just yep. likes yep. and approval. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing of this scripture dives so much into wanting, trying to gain man's approval.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what it is. Mm-hmm. Approval addiction. When we have to go back to the only approval we need is the Lord's.
Right. Yes.
That's what the scripture is all about, is about approval. Not so much, you know, telling somebody what you did, but about the approval factor of it.
And what's so disturbing, new studies have been coming out that likes, hearts, whatever, mm-hmm. engagement mm-hmm. releases dopamine in our brain.
It
so
does.
We keep going back to get that hit. And there's a lot.
Oh.
This is kind of what reminds me a little bit of people who, the problem with selfies. We know a lot of bloggers, and I have had some people. They post so many selfies, I can't even believe it, number one. But they're very defensive of it because they're saying that it's body positive, loving yourself positive. Okay. There might be an element of truth to that. And I've posted selfies before, you know, especially if like my hair is banging. But that's what I'm like, hair's on point, you know, and then I tag the person who did it or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that I've always been uncomfortable with chronic selfies or selfies where the person is almost kind of like, they're almost like sexual or sensual about it. And the reason it makes me uncomfortable is because to me, I'm worried that they are seeking approval. They're going for that dopamine hit and they want affirmation of their value. And uh-huh. and the fact that we are now going to Instagram and Facebook for that is going to have very serious spiritual ramifications.
Absolutely. Amen.
So
of course it is. Yeah.
I think it's totally okay to post pictures of yourself and your family. That's the whole point, for us to celebrate each other. But it's all about the motivation behind it. And I have to catch myself all of the time. And you know, there's so many times where you know, when I was working with my life coach and building Hoo Ha's, I was getting obsessive with my engagement and my likes. And she would tell me, okay, for the next month, you're not allowed to look at any of that.
Yeah.
You go and you create what you're supposed to create, and how the world receives it is none of your business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that becomes, the focus is then, how am I serving God and pleasing Him and using humor to lighten someone's day, and I put it out there, and whether it gets 5 likes, 50 likes, or 5,000 or 50,000 is absolutely irrelevant. And it comes where am I getting my joy from, and where am I getting my dopamine hit?
That's exactly right. Does it? It becomes an idol.
Exactly.
It becomes an idol. That's what you worship. You worship approval.
Exactly.
You worship these likes. You worship, you know, you worship social media.
Exactly.
And there's definitely some ramifications from that. And like you were saying before, I have a friend who is a beautiful girl, and she has the lowest self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And but she's gorgeous. And it's one of those things where you don't understand why. She's gorgeous. And she posts selfies a lot with those kinds of hashtags, you know, of love yourself and be you and be beautiful and all these little things. But then if you scroll through, you'll notice that she posts things that just beat herself up, you know? Right. So you can tell she's so down and she just wants, and everybody comments you're beautiful on them because she is.
Yeah.
And so you can tell when she's feeling down and then high. It's like watching lows and highs.
Right. Exactly. And you see people then affirming it like, gosh, you're so gorgeous. Gosh, you're so this, which is all wonderful. But that you can tell that that's what they went there for, was to get that instead of getting that love and that comfort from the right place.
I could talk for hours on finding your self-worth in Christ.
Yeah.
I could talk. I think anybody can. So many people can. You don't have to be on social media, you know, and be a personality, a public figure like we are on social media. But I think it really hits home when you do, when you're so used to checking to see who liked this and who, like you just said, you put it out there and what the world does with it is none of your business.
Right.
But I too have gotten so wrapped up in my self-worth being, I got the ugliest message the other day on a YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
It was so ugly and they called me pretentious, and that word hits home. It strikes a nerve in me because I try so hard not to be pretentious, not to seem like I'm more important than I really am.
Mm-hmm.
I try to be very humble and, you know, I even downplay myself a lot and make fun of myself a lot just so, because it makes me uncomfortable when people think, you know, I'm this important person. I don't see myself that way. And it does make me uncomfortable. And so somebody had called me pretentious and, you know, you think you're all that and you're just a no name all. I mean, she dug deep, deep. And we've talked about this so many times, it doesn't even bear repeating. My whole afternoon was ruined on this one person brought me down. And I will not even lie. I went on Facebook and I posted something funny. It had nothing to do with that. And I kept going back and checking it.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you know what? 2,000 people think I'm funny. So that marks out what that one person said, which is ridiculous. I shouldn't even have cared about it that much. I have to go post something somewhere else to get some value, some approval, you know?
Yeah.
So it is a daily struggle.
Well, first of all, YouTube comments are from the bowels of hell.
They are Satan's pits. That's where they come.
I honestly think YouTube should shut it down. I mean, I had a friend who's a video of her daughter, they gave her a cat for Christmas. When she opened the box, the cat jumped out and she didn't see the cat. She goes, why'd you buy me an empty box? And it went viral.
Uh-huh.
The comments were sexual predators were commenting about her daughter in the comments.
Mm-mm.
YouTube needs Sickos. To shut it down. Yeah. YouTube needs to shut it down. There's nobody moderating. It's just madness.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I agree.
But that's beyond the point that you're trying to make. Gosh, I get it. I actually felt pretty good. There was one time, I don't really read video. I don't listen to comments too much. I kind of check in on them every once in a while. And right when I checked on a comment, it popped up. It was one of my most viral videos. And it was some guy. And he was like, that's one ugly bitch.
Mm.
First of all, I didn't look bad in that video at all. I looked pretty good. So it honestly didn't bother me because I just knew in my heart that that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, like, what, you know, it was just like, okay, you know, what, it really shows you too, that people who, anybody who takes the time to even write that, whether that's true or not, has some type of deep, grave emptiness. And that woman, and of course you know this already, who left that comment calling you pretentious, no-name author, blah, 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 I guarantee you has no purpose, is struggling in some part of her life, sees your massive success, and wants to do everything she can to tear you down and belittle you. It's just,
And she's also, you can tell she's also seeking approval.
Exactly.
She's waiting for one person to agree with her. You know?
And you know what's worse is when you get a nasty comment, and then, you know what bothers me more than nasty comments?
People who like them.
The people who like them.
Mm-hmm.
It's those passive aggressive people who don't have the guts to say something themselves.
They just say, yeah.
Yeah. Click a button. I'm going to like that. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Like that. I Satan's know. Minions.
Well, anyway, getting back on the giving, you know, I had a thought the other day that if I were to receive a certain portion amount of money for something, I wanted to give a portion of that money to these people directly rather than through this organization that would give them a percentage, I guess is the way to say it.
Right.
And because I think that they were totally okay with it going through this organization, but I wanted to give it to them directly. And then I wanted to do it anonymously because I knew that if I had my name attached to it, they wouldn't accept it. So I was talking to someone about this for kind of the wisdom on that or what they thought. And they said, well, you know, one thing to think about is that if you do it that way, then you can't deduct it from your taxes. And I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, good point. And I was like, wait, what I, you know, hello, that's not the point. And if I have a thought in my head, if I give you this money, a certain percentage of this needs to go to this person, and I want you to write a check to them directly instead of going through this organization, and I want you to be anonymous, that is my selfish nature doesn't normally think that way. I've got to be honest. So if that thought crosses my mind, I need to take notice.
Right.
That's what I got to do.
That's and been I placed there for purpose.
And
yeah.
I probably shouldn't have even, of course, this person is fine, but I probably shouldn't have even bounced it off of them. I probably should have just held that close to the belt or close to my chest and figured it out that way. Because I've got to tell you, there have been many times in my life where I have felt that a certain person needs to get a certain amount of money and it seems weird. The number is odd. And then I've gone to discover that was the exact amount that they needed. We've got to respond to that voice, because that voice is telling us something that's important.
That's right. You have to do what you believe God is telling you to do.
And I can't think of anything worse than giving that amount of money, finding out that was the, I'm using this as an example, but then doing that and then exploiting that person by bragging about what you just did.
By bragging about it. Right. Right. I was telling you before, you know, my daughter has just such a giving. She's really got the light of Christ in her and just a really giving. I'm like you. I'm by nature. I'm naughty by nature.
Right, exactly. That's what we'll title this podcast.
Oh, gosh. So, she is always coming. She's always really blowing my mind with wanting to give things. Like we had, and I'm going to tell you what she did, but I'm not being boastful about it. We had a neighbor that was very sick, and she bought something for our neighbor at their Santa's workshop at school with her own money. Mm-hmm. And that's just an example of the kind things that she does. But, you know, and again, when she did that, I could have tagged our neighbor who was struggling at the time. And I thought about doing it, posting a picture of her with her gift and her giving her the gift and saying, oh, I'm so proud of her. But you know what? I thought the Lord knows what she's done and she's going to be blessed for it. And I don't want to rob her of a blessing. I don't want to rob my daughter of a blessing. The Lord placed it on her heart to do that. She was obedient. She didn't say, Mama, let's put this on social media. Right. And let's not tell everybody. I did tell my husband, of course, because we were proud of her for doing a sweet thing. And she's just a sweet kid. But I think so many people, though, just don't stop themselves. You ever read things on social media and you're like, why didn't you think that through? You should have thought that through a little bit.
I've felt that about my own posts sometimes. Like, why did I do that? It's a need. We're filling. Instead of going to the Word, we're going to Facebook walls. We're going to instead of the throne, we're going to the phone. We're just a mess. We're just a mess. Yeah.
But like you said too, though, we need to reiterate it is a fine line, because I think if you have the genuine purpose of paying it forward and trying to encourage somebody to be giving. Inspiring someone else to do something good, But see, you know, when the server shows the receipt, that inspires people to do good.
Yeah. Yeah.
The customer shows the receipt.
Uh-huh.
That just inspires you to put an angry face on it.
And, well, yeah.
And write down Matthew 6:2.
But, you know, it's one thing to say, I've been giving to this amazing organization. Here's what they do. If you have any extra funds, please consider it yourself. I mean, that is a different, and that's
what I've done that.
Yeah.
With t-shirt sales, and I've given to things, and that's me trying to rally up some money for this worthy cause.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Right.
Again, it's all about what is your, what's your heart? Only God knows. And I think we should all kind of be sober to the fact that if our heart and if our intentions are not pure, it's pretty visible to most people. I mean, we just need to sober up to that fact that when we're going seeking approval, when we're doing something for the likes, when we're doing something because our self-esteem is low. And that's why I feel like social media is just so dangerous for teens. And that's why I'm so chomping at the bit to write my book, you know, Life's Too Short for Crappy Friends, because it's just, that is where they go. And then they get 2 likes and then they plummet. I bet to a teenager with low self-esteem, who's 16, who posts a picture of them, a selfie of themselves that gets a small amount of likes, maybe even a mean comment from a bully. I mean, that's going to take 3 weeks of their life away. That's going to have such a horrible impact. Anyway, it just shows you how much we need God in our lives. And I think it was from The Atlantic, that Christian America is on a steep decline. And I thought to myself, social media has just so much to do to that, because that's where we're going. That's where we're going to meet our need rather than God.
There's a wonderful devotional for aimed towards young girls, and it's called Liked. L-I-K-E-D, Liked. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing, is about finding your self-worth in Christ instead of on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's just, I've read through it a little bit, and it's just amazing the impact that all of this wealth of information is having on our children, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm railing against it. My daughter, a lot of her friends have phones, and I'm just railing against it and praying heavily about it, because I mean, that's just one less thing we need to deal with.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. You know, she's the kind of girl who's got the head on her shoulders to deal with it, but why tempt?
Exactly.
Why tempt? Yeah. Yeah.
And there's plenty that would like to, I mean, as you know, talking about, as you so kindly said before, about somebody trying to tear down my success and this and that, whatever. She's very successful, and she's 10, but she's very successful in everything that she, you know, tries to do and works towards with sports and academics. And there's somebody roaming on Facebook ready to tear her down.
Absolutely.
For whatever good she does, you know, and I don't even want to expose her to that.
And you know, the beauty of it is that when we do things for God and God alone, and for out of our love for Him, then those other things don't affect us, or at the very least, they affect us much less.
Mm-hmm.
When your purpose, if my purpose for posting an article is for likes and engagement, I am affected much more heavily with it flopping, or my perception flop, than if I did it for God, because I felt that somebody out there needs to hear this message. Mm-hmm. And then I just know confidently that they heard it, and that's the only thing I need to worry about. And then my day's great. You know, it's all about the heart space. And
yeah, it is. That's exactly it. That summed it up right there, Anna. It's about your heart space. What are your intentions?
I have to remind myself all the time to start off with, how can I serve you with this? Because normally I'm diving right in with, how can I feel good about myself? I mean, really, if you really break down your motivations, a lot of it can be, you know, how can I feel good about myself today with applause from this particular thing? You know, gosh. Yeah, so this verse, it's a good one. It definitely applies. So our prayer for all of you listening is that your love for God and your desire to pursue him and love him guides your steps in how you give and how you interact with the people in your life. And that, you know, you go to God to fill those voids or to serve, and not your friends or the approval of other people. And I'm telling you, it's a daily thing we got to deal with, right?
It is, absolutely.
All right.
It's hourly for me.
Yeah, seriously. Hourly. Yeah. So if you struggle with it, just know you're in good company, because Susanna and I are here struggling right along with you. And it's so important. It's such an important reminder. All right. Well, Susanna, of course, her new book, hopefully you've ordered it already, Unfortunate Ursula Underwood. You can find that on Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. Of course,
have you found it on Amazon.com?
Oh, yet? I found it on Amazon.com. Oh. It's on its way.
Okay. I was going to send you a copy, you know. You didn't have to buy one.
Well, it was kind of awkward because I was waiting for you to send me one, and when you didn't offer, I just decided to buy it off of Amazon. I'm just kidding. You know what? I love supporting you, though. I love supporting you. No, so I actually,
I didn't send one. You want to know why I didn't send one?
Why?
Because I've been selling them out here locally. I didn't want to send one to somebody that wasn't going to read it. That's why I didn't send you one yet. I was waiting on you to say, look, I'm ready to start the book. I was thinking about 2019. I would send you one and then you could read it at that time.
I tell you what, with the one I ordered, let me do that as another giveaway. And then let me get one from you with a little special note in it. Because, you know, I love your little notes written with a real crappy Bic pen. You know, I treasure those.
I got you, sister.
Or an oversized Sharpie that just kind of smears all together and it's like illegible. give me a combination.
I'll do the Bic and the jumbo Sharpie in a combo.
Yes.
I'm going to work it up real nice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, everybody. So go find that. As for me, I am very excited, but I just started a group. So if you're pregnant or know someone who is, I just started the Pregnancy Chronic Ankles Facebook group. This is a place for you to, for pregnant women to laugh. It's humor, but we're also there to support, have fellowship. I'm going to be doing some giveaways. I'll also bring on some fun guests. It's just going to be a really fun community. So please just look it up on Facebook. You should be able to find it. Request entry and I will let you in. So
looking it up right now.
If you're pregnant, again, or know anybody else who's pregnant who you might enjoy this, please send them our way. We're going to have a really great time. Of course, you can follow me at Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's by Anna Lynn Thomas. And with that note, Susanna, we'll see you guys all next week.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.